B-Pod Studios.
On PhillyVoice.com, and not just a football writer. Jimmy thinks outside the box. Talked about Wawa, our favorite go-to place in the morning, right? Jimmy talked about some ways we can help each other out at Wawa. Told you who not to be that guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Never want to be that guy.
No, you never want to be that guy at Wawa that's holding everything up. Talk about that with Jimmy. 8 o'clock hour was brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Earlier than that, 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank Financial Solutions for your business. And you are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. On the line with us right now from PhillyVoice.com, Jimmy Kempsky. Jimmy, good morning.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing great, man. Hey, first off, Wawa, near and dear to all our hearts, and thank you for your article that I will consider a public service when it comes to telling people how to act at Wawa so that it benefits everybody as a Wawa customer.
I already got a Pulitzer for it.
I'm sure you did. And I will say this. I want people to go to the article and read it, obviously. But I think one of the best things you did was to really talk about order management. You don't go to Wawa for a 1,000 hoagie order. You go there because it's a 15-minute place.
Yeah, that doesn't happen as much locally here. But you see that a ton, specifically at the Jersey Shore, where people, you know, are driving down and then they'll walk into Wawa and they order like 10 to 15 hoagies for the beach or fishing trip or day drinking event or whatever it is. And first of all, you can call ahead and order that stuff. You don't pull up and just use the kiosk for 10 to 15 hoagies, because then you create this traffic jam of people around the hoagie. And like, everyone's got to wait for your garbage 10 to 15 hoagie order. And then it's just bedlam in those Wawas tend to be a little smaller than the ones around here. Mm-hmm. There's just bedlam in those Wawas I'm getting mad just thinking about it.
You're fighting our case, Jimmy. We appreciate that, man.
That's right.
What is Jimmy Kempsky's go-to at Wawa?
I like a meatball sub, Wawa's good for, it's great for like just grabbing it on the go. I'll get a turkey and cheese every now and again. I like the
turkey and cheese,
the hot turkey
great,
that
yeah.
they have. The hot turkey's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, not the the cookies actually are surprisingly good too when you
yes,
get by the
are.
Register.
Oh, they are good. It's tough to ignore those cookies. Let's just face it. Wawa knows what they're doing. Put them right at the register. Like, I could have a cookie today. I could totally go for a cookie. They're right there.
$10 billion a year business.
We all love Wawa. We all have our Wawa go-tos. Definitely a good article on PhillyVoice.com. But, Jimmy, we also got to get a little bit into everything going on. Today's the day you can tag Nick Foles. If you're the Eagles, and that's been reported that might be their interest to do that, how do you see this whole thing playing out between the Eagles and Nick Foles?
Well, they have until March 5th to tag him, so it's not like that's going to happen today necessarily.
Right.
But today's the first day that they can tag him. I think they'd be crazy, personally, to tag him, unless they already had a trade in place. Say, for example, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, in my opinion, are really the only realistic team that they can get that done with. So I think they'd have to have that done before they tag him. And they actually have to tag him if they are going to trade him, because that's the only way they can keep him on the roster past the first day of the new league year, which is when they would be allowed to trade him. So they can't trade him until that point, and they'd have to have him on their team before that, you know, at that time. So they'd have to tag him in order to be able to trade him. So that's part of it. But if you tag him and you can't trade him, he's now gobbling up $25 million on your salary cap when you're already, you know, cap strapped as it is. And that basically means you can't do anything in free agency. And it also means that you have to restructure all kinds of contracts. And then in a worst case scenario, if you have him on your cap at $25 million and you're still trying to trade him, you might ultimately, you might not find as much interest as you thought you did. And you might wind up having to trade him for less than the third round comp pick that you'd otherwise get if he walked in free agency in the 2020 NFL draft.
The thing that has interested me is the transitional tag, where basically you allow Nick Foles to go out there and get those other offers, and then maybe you could work something out. I understand that goes away if he ends up going away after a transitional tag, but would that be an option by any means for the Eagles?
No, that doesn't do them any good, because the transitional tag, all that does is it allows them to match any offer that they get. And if they were to, if some team, you know, gave him an offer and they didn't match it, they don't get any draft pick compensation in return.
So there's no trade. No trade on that. So I was just a little curious about that, if that would be an option. Okay. So that's still allowed, but that essentially then gives Nick Foles the freedom, but not necessarily 100% of the freedom.
What gives him freedom?
The transitional tag. He still is able to go get other offers. It's just that the Eagles, the only thing they would do is say, yeah, we'll match it or we won't.
Yeah, they're not going to use that. Because, if they use the transitional tag on him, then he could search for offers. And then if he got one that he liked, the Eagles would have an opportunity to match that, which they won't because, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. He's not going to be on the roster this year, at least with Carson Wentz. So if they were to, if the Bunner team did make an offer to him and the Eagles didn't match it, then he would just leave and the Eagles wouldn't get any kind of draft pick in return, whether that be via trade or via, a third round compensatory pick in 2020. So they would get nothing in return in that scenario.
So there's no trade that would be imminent like it would a franchise.
Yeah, it's franchise tag or nothing. He's either going to get tagged or he's going to walk in free agency. And those are basically the two options.
I have never been more convinced that, he's just walking. There's no trade. That's it, because, I mean, even if there is, you entertain the scenario of Nick Foles being traded after a franchise tag. Why wouldn't he just say, hell no, I'm not signing a franchise tag?
I think if they did tag him, he'd just sign it immediately.
Really?
Because it's $25 million guaranteed. And if he gets tagged and he doesn't sign it, he's basically just under the Eagles' control, and they can trade him anyway. So he's gonna. If it were me, I would lock in that $25 million guaranteed. Worst case scenario, I just play on the Eagles for another year as a backup at $25 million, and then I'm a free agent again next offseason with a chance to cash in even more. So I think if they did tag him, he would just immediately run and sign that. And then at that point, if they did get traded, he would still have plenty of leverage in terms of working out a long-term deal because the team that would trade for him wouldn't want to have him on their books at $25 million this year either. They'd want to work out a long-term deal. And from Foles' perspective, that long-term deal would have to be somewhere in the ballpark of that $25 million or there would be no incentive for him to sign it.
And then how long? So let's say they tag him, he signs it, $25 million in the bank for Nick Foles, but then the Eagles have, what, 2-3 weeks to trade him? What's the window?
Well, so the new league year begins, I don't remember the date off the top of my head, I have to check my calendar, but it's roughly the second week of March.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
The deadline to tag him is March 5th, and then I think it's roughly a week after that where the new league year will start. And if you tag him, that's, $25 million on your cap. They'd have to do a whole lot of restructuring of contracts because they'd be way over the cap if they tag him at $25 million. So they'd have to restructure all kinds of guys, potentially cut some players just to fit him under the cap at that new league year. And the way it works is you can't, he has to count toward the new league year cap before you're allowed to trade him. So even if you trade him at exactly 4 o'clock on the day the new league year begins, they have to be under the cap with his contract counting toward their cap before they could trade him to the Jaguars, for example.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Well, absolutely fascinating. Go ahead and say your goodbyes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think that's pretty obvious as far as the goodbye goes, but I would just be very shocked, Jimmy. Speaking with Jimmy Kemsky at PhillyVoice.com, if the Eagles did pull something off like that without having anything already in place.
Yeah, correct. I think if they were to use the tag, it would be because they already have a trade in place. Now, in theory, they could just be stubborn and tag him and say, we're going to get something this year for him or it's not going anywhere.
Wow.
Which is possible. And another thing that I kind of realized this morning as well is in terms of the compensatory picks, you gain them in the following year's draft for players that you lose in free agency in the current year. So if he were to walk in free agency, he's going to get, the value of the compensatory picks that you get back, the higher the contract they sign elsewhere, the higher the compensatory pick you get. So the max pick you can get is a third round pick, which Foles would absolutely generate because he's going to get paid somewhere. So if you can trade him this offseason, he wouldn't count toward the compensatory pick formula. You have a max of 4 comp picks that you can get in any one season. So if they traded him and they can get a pick for him this year, they might also max out on the 4 compensatory picks that they could get for losing other players like Brandon Graham, Ronald Darby,
Golden Tate,
and potentially Jordan Hicks, maybe a guy like Jay Ajayi. So if they were able to trade him, it'd be almost like an extra pick as opposed to an upgraded pick from their 2020 comp pick to getting a pick in a trade this year in 2019. So essentially they could get five picks instead of potentially four, if that makes sense. So
Jimmy, I'm just glad none of this is complicated. I'm just glad all this is just spelled out, and you're doing a great job with it. Thank you for that, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I understand that's all like super, way down the nerd hole there.
All right. absolutely. Just a little bit. Here's the other part of this. Speaking of Jimmy Kempsey, Philly voice, if it wasn't Nick Foles' franchise tag, is there really anybody else that you would slap that tag on?
No, the only other even thought would be Brandon Graham, but no, I mean, not at his age. And I think he's still a very, very good starter in the NFL, but no, I wouldn't put the tag on him.
All right, there you go. Jimmy, Bob, do you have something?
Yeah, well, Jimmy, of those guys, Darby, Graham, and Golden Tate, do you see any, all, some of them back next year?
I see all three of them on other teams next year. The one guy that I think could return would be Hicks, but of those other three guys, I think Graham, Darby, Tate, and Golden Tate. First of all, if you look at each of those positions in free agency, they're all awful. I mean, the defensive end class right now is really good, but guys like Clowney and Dee Ford and Frank Clark and DeMarcus Lawrence, they're all going to get tagged. So once those guys get tagged, it's not good anymore. Brandon Graham might be the best available player. Darby is, I think, in my opinion, one of the clear top three corners in free agency. Some people think Golden Tate is the best wide receiver in free agency. So all those guys are going to get, some idiot teams are going to wildly overpay them just because they're the best of a bad class.
Quite interesting.
Fascinating. Jimmy, it's crazy. So I got to ask you this because we're having everybody that's on the air with us talk about this. Bryce Harper coming to Philly?
Yeah, it's a good thing that, first of all, you have the Foles franchise tag thing that's just dragging out and talked about every possible which way. So I think that and the Bryce Harper, is he going to sign or not, storyline are they're simultaneously just two never-ending,
yes,
annoying stories that we just don't get an answer to. But yeah, I do think they'll sign, yes.
There we go. We threw this into the mix because it came about yesterday. Mike Trout talked to the media, so now we got Mike Trout back in it because people are talking about him being a future Philly in 2 years. It's a perfect storm.
I mean, he better with all the footballs that the Eagles players give him. instead of giving the football to like a little kid, they're giving them to a guy that like makes, is worth well over $100 million. So he better come to Philly if all these Eagle players.
Absolutely. Jimmy Kempsky, PhillyVoice.com. Thanks for clearing up all the stuff regarding the traditional tag, franchise tag, and all that fun stuff regarding Nick Foles, man. We appreciate you coming on. And, of course, how to better serve everyone at Wawa. Always the best.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Jimmy Kempsky, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate him coming on here. You never know what's going to end. You start off with the go-to at Wawa for his article. Then we talk about 8 minutes of Nick Foles, and then we wrap it up with the Harper stuff. Sure. And then a little Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Covering all bases.
Why not?
There you go.
Covering all bases.
Round and third.
People say slow news day. Please.
As Jimmy interview was going on, did you see the new SI cover just came out?
I did see that. Mm. I just saw it on Twitter. You got the 76ers on there.
It's beautiful.
Sixers finally all in.
It's a beautiful sight.
Think about this.
Seeing your starting five on SI.
It's always great. And no, I'm not going to believe in the curse. I know that's the next question that always comes out with people.
There's too many. It's a weekly publication.
The Phillies are supposed to be on the doorstep of signing an MVP caliber player.
Who?
Bryce Harper.
Oh, Bryce Harper.
I'm ignoring all the hate coming from the Washington Post now. Because no one's willing to come on and like back it up.
I'm going to try and get Thomas Boswell.
Okay. And he's the one guy I'd like to talk to.
Yes.
There's another story, I think, David Jones of Harrisburg. Right, yeah. So Harrisburg talking about Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, neither of them fitting Philadelphia, Trey. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless.
You said that, David Jones?
Yeah.
He says neither fit?
Penn Nation Live,
yeah,
I believe.
They both fit.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're both pretty good baseball players. So look at it like that. they're on the precipice. They're on the doorstep of signing somebody that could be a franchise-altering player, like those two players, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Yet a close second to them on our Window Nation Twitter poll today is the Sixers winning the East.
Mm-hmm.
Not for 10 years, just this year.
Mm-hmm.
We picked four things that could happen in the not-too-distant future, including Foles getting franchise tagged, Sixers winning the East, Bryce Harper, the Flyers making the playoffs, and a close second to the Phillies adding Bryce Harper is the Sixers winning the Eastern Conference. They have the team that should be able to do it. Unfortunately, they have another team in the conference in the Celtics that they match up terribly against. Mm-hmm. And the other scenario that comes out of this, if the best case scenario for all of us is the Sixers actually make it up to that third seed, as we think they can, eventually we think the Pacers will start to fall. Mm-hmm. They won six in a row before the All-Star break. They lost their last game before the All-Star break, but before that they won six in a row. The Pacers finally go away. They're the current occupants of the third seed, and the Sixers make it up that way. If that happened, then the Sixers would face the Nets, most likely in the first round of the playoffs. Another team they've matched up poorly against this season.
Yeah. But this team hasn't matched up poorly.
This team with Tobias Harris has not matched up poorly.
Yeah, like it's
right.
So different. It's so different now. Teams have to look to match up with the Sixers. The Sixers don't have to worry about matching up with teams so much.
That's what you hope. Yes, but that's what sucks so much about the loss to the Celtics.
It does, but it's also, I still equate that to, okay, you can't relate this loss to the Celtics as much as you could the other ones, because this is such a different group. They've been together for two games, whatever it may be. They didn't win that game only on talent, because that's all they had. They had no cohesiveness.
Well, when's Joel Embiid going to start beating dead?
Yeah, right. When's he going to start taking it to Al Horford?
Yeah, that's what gave me the most concern.
Yeah, did you notice in the All-Star game, that we got into this a little bit yesterday, but he really pissed off Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it started pregame where Embiid kind of playfully swatted a ball away from him when he was playing one-on-one with Westbrook.
Oh, was that when it was? I didn't see when it happened.
Yeah, and they laughed and hugged it out, but like Durant's initial reaction to it was like, yo, don't do that to me when I'm playing one-on-one.
Simmons and Embiid are getting to be a little bit of
I wonder how they're actually perceived around the
league. Because we saw the highlight the last game before the All-Star game when they played the Knicks, when Ben Simmons was walking off the floor. Who was it? Smith Jr. had something to say.
Yeah,
Dennis Smith Jr. had something to say, and they had to pull back. Like, Simmons kept going at him like, are you serious? You're going to keep going? And Embiid had to kind of grab him and look at Smith and say,
get away from here, Dennis.
you don't know where you're going here. Like, it was, I don't know what the hell imitation
I don't know what that was either.
That was part Brett, part Embiid. But yeah, so it seems like almost every game they're getting a little into it with people, which is fine by me.
I like it.
Yeah, so
it.
Do I.
I like a little edge.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I don't want them hugging, kissing with LeBron every time they see you. You know,
no.
I have an attitude. Be
shooting
me.
My elbow every now and then.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I want to see them dragging each other apart like the Boban and DeAndre Jordan.
Boban.
That's what I want to see.
That was funny. Ben's a tough SOB. I mean, remember the Lowry thing? There was the Markieff Morris thing.
Yep.
Now the Dennis Smith Jr. thing. Like, I don't think he cares about making friends, which I love.
No, yeah. Absolutely. If he's on your team,
yeah.
That's how you should be.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
he doesn't back down from a little fight.
But I wonder, see, it's interesting that it was Dennis Smith Jr., a younger player, right?
Yeah.
Because I do wonder about not the old players in the league, but the older, more veteran players in the league, mm-hmm. how they might look at Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Like, what the hell have you guys done?
Well, we remember when the Sixers named themselves the Feds, like 2 years
ago. Joel did that.
Yeah. Well, I remember from Steph Curry's softball game, they were all mic'd up, and Durant was kind of mocking them. He was going, they're giving themselves a nickname.
Oh, that's right.
They haven't even played yet.
Yeah.
And then, like, started laughing at them. So I do think there is a little bit of, who the hell are you guys think you are?
Exactly. Prove yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's cool.
Here's the front cover of Sports Illustrated. It says, the Sixers are finally all in. All right. Then it has Tobias Harris, JJ Redick, Joel Embiid in the center, Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons, all as if the camera is on the floor and they're all standing over the camera, like leaning over, and it takes their picture.
Yeah.
It's pretty baller.
Yeah.
You seen it, Trey?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's pretty. You like to be in the middle of that.
I like pictures like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This is what we want to see.
Yeah, we have a shot like that when they took all of us at the offensive line.
Not pictured.
Yeah.
The Sixers bench.
Yeah. No, you know, all you need is five.
But Bob had an interesting tidbit on this before the show, because you were reading the story by Serena Winters on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. We talked to you yesterday. And one of the things Serena pointed out was different conversations she had over All-Star Weekend with some players, including one, Bob, with James Harden.
Yeah, so she talks to Harden. Her question to everybody was, with the Sixers' new additions, you know, how do you perceive them? And James Harden didn't mention anything. He says, yeah, they got a lot better. The first name he meant, they got a lot better. And then coming off the bench, you have TJ. It was like, really? The first name you mentioned isn't Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris.
Well, he was talking about the bench. Like,
TJ McConnell. Like, it was just kind of funny. But yeah, that the NBA All-Star Game, it's really cool because they set players up all over the place. So you can just go around and pick and choose. And so that's what she did. And overwhelmingly, these players, and there's probably a sample of 12, were like, what? They're scary. Like, wow, that starting five is really good. Yeah, so, you know, they're very much on notice around the league.
There is a respect factor there that I hope comes into play in the latter stages of the season. Because we were, as much as we're looking forward to the Harper thing and the Machado, whatever the Phillies offseason brings, what's right now is the 76ers. Well, actually, what's right now, because the Flyers actually play tonight, and they're 8-1-1 in their last 10 games. Carter Hart's playing some good hockey and all that. Mm-hmm. They're making some moves. They just added another goaltender. They might end up trading Wayne Simmons in the next 6 days before the NHL trade deadline. But the Sixers are kind of what's capturing us. That's a tangible thing. There's not a lot of, what do you call it, speculation there. Because they're actually playing games.
Yeah.
But what surrounds them, as far as speculation, is what they do in the last 8 games of the season that are in the big test. So they got 23 games to play, 24 games to play.
24, yeah.
24 games to play. About 8 of those games are against upper echelon teams. When we broke down the numbers, the Sixers, of the top 4 or 5 teams in the Eastern Conference, have the second easiest schedule, facing teams with a winning percentage at about 47%. So they're supposed to be facing the majority of under 500 opponents in the second half of the season. That's what gives you the confidence to maybe be able to catch up with the Pacers, who have gone on a stretch now of 11 games, winning 6 of them. Seeing guys like Bogdanovich being able to put up numbers for them, 30-point game, 29-point game, posting numbers for them. Victor Oladipo obviously out. Miles Turner having some good games for
them. Thaddeus Young has put up some decent numbers for them also.
The lefty with the new do, absolutely. Yeah. Fatty Daddy's doing himself
a
job.
Oftentimes it's a case where you scout a team, you have a report on a team, you're ready to go on a team, and obviously your defensive scheming is against Victor Oladipo. Now he's pulled. Now you're kind of like a little screwy. All right, what's going on here? That'll get figured out, and I agree with you, Mark. Indiana will fall backwards. They'll fall down a little bit. I think that third spot, I think Boston and Philadelphia will both hurdle them.
How has it not happened yet?
Well, you're 6 games, whatever. Plus, don't forget, it was the stretch right before the All-Star break. Teams kind of go on mental hiatus around that point.
Well,
so,
they didn't.
Yeah, they did not, and they're playing for a cause because they lost their best player. I think that'll all balance out pretty soon.
And who is it? I can't remember. Is it Wes Matthews when ended up going there?
Yes.
Or not, yeah. Wayne Ellington. Wayne Ellington went to the Suns?
Detroit.
Detroit. He left the Suns. Yeah. Detroit.
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
What a weirdo. You watch yourself there.
I mean, I understand why, to try and get paid for next year, but who willingly goes to Detroit?
All right, coming up, Trey, you're the artist in the room.
Uh-huh.
I want you to think of the most iconic photos in American history. All right, I want you to think of maybe your top 3, let's just say. When you think of American history, right, and you know, good vibes, I want you to think of your top 3 good vibe photos in American history. And if this isn't one of them, we're going to have words, because there's some sadness surrounding this one. It gives good vibes almost instantaneously whenever you look at this picture. And there's some sadness that fell upon it over the weekend. I want to talk about that photo coming up in a few. Here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You know what this is?
Horns.
Don't you just feel patriotic listening to this?
Absolutely.
The Navy.
Yes.
The Anchors Away action.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin was a midshipman. Went down to a Navy game. There's Navy Temple. Navy won, unfortunately. This was a while ago. And, they were playing this song and all that stuff, man. It was great. It was great memories. But how about this? You think about all the all-time iconic photos?
Mm-hmm.
Try to think of, like, Iwo Jima, right?
Yeah.
Think of the Marines putting the American flag in Iwo Jima in World War II in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is a big one.
That is a huge one.
Yeah.
Bob, what do you think of? Oh. Iconic American history photos. May that inspire good vibes.
Oh, well, of course. World holding the 100 points.
All right, yeah. Bob. You had to find a combination of American history and Sixers, didn't you?
Right?
Yeah,
or one of the greatest sports pictures ever.
It is.
The first Playboy logo.
Norma Jean, Marilyn Monroe on the cover of Playboy.
You know, the bunny with the bow tie.
That's pretty good. It's tough to compete, Trey. It's tough to compete with that one. But no, this ever since I was a kid, I always thought of this photo as like the instant good vibes feeling about America.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the famous kissing the war goodbye with the sailor grabbing the nurse in Times Square on VJ Day, victory in Japan, officially ending World War II. And the sailor grabs the nurse and dips her, and mwah, big kiss, plants one right on her, right?
A mwah! Wow.
Like, just boom, right there.
Okay.
That's like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like everybody felt that.
Iconic picture.
Iconic picture, right?
Yeah.
The gentleman's name, Jorge Mendoza, passed away on Sunday.
Mm.
Wow.
95 years old, I believe 2 days short of his 96th birthday.
2 days short.
That may that man rest in peace.
Yeah.
The story, there's like so many legends that surround the story. One of them is that the guy actually felt bad for it because he had a couple of drinks and he actually had a girlfriend or maybe even a wife somewhere else. But just this woman was right there. She said she didn't even know what was happening. She passed away a couple of years ago, I think at 92. Now they're both gone. But like you think about that photo and like instantly feeling great.
Yeah. No question.
I think I was in San Diego, and there's like a giant statue of something of them.
The giant statue of them.
Yeah,
and there's one right by the USS New Jersey, I believe, as you're going to board the ship.
Okay.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, right across the way. I believe they have one right there as well, kind of greeting you as you get to the boards to walk out to the actual ship itself.
Hmm.
But I look at that, and I've always loved that photo. And I'm going to tell you something. My grandfather was a Coast Guard. Was in the Coast Guard for 25 years. I'll never forget this. One time, I was about maybe 11 or 12 years old. My grandparents were staying with us. They were up visiting for a while. And I remember one morning, I forget what we were getting ready to do, but I was like running around as a kid getting ready to leave the house. And my grandparents were all ready. They were downstairs. And I run downstairs, and there are my grandparents, who at the time had been married almost 60 years, as a matter of fact. And they're like, this picture.
Whoa.
I kid you not.
He had her dipped in everything?
He had her like dipped in everything. Like
wow.
they were well into their 80s at this point. Like
tongue's wagging?
I did it. It was a look up.
You didn't
up
get
and
that close
it was
enough?
Bob, I didn't examine. I looked up and looked away. I went, oh, goo. And then like as I get
goo?
Old, I'm watching my grandparents in their 80s make out. They were married 74 years.
And the first word that came to your mind was goo?
They probably were trying to shoo you off like, hey,
this is my...
Get away, little Mark.
Was there any like, you know, under the dress, over the bra action?
No, Bob. What the hell, man?
Because Pop about to put it down.
This is Mum and Pub Up time.
Yeah,
like, right. I walked in. I had to be, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old when I walked into that. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, gross, right? But then you think about it, you're married. That time, they'd be about 60 years. I don't know.
It's one thing to walk in on your parents, but to walk in on your grandparents.
Hey, my grandparents had 12 kids. There's no secrets, man. I know the deal. All right, I know what went on. Yeah. But I caught him in that moment, and I remember thinking in that moment, oh, my God. And they sensed I was in the room. And I'll never forget, my grandmother turned around, and she goes, after 60 years of marriage, you can still do that? You're all right.
There you go.
Oh, look at that. Beautiful.
Mom.
I know, right?
And then Pop-Up said, and if you could still do this, you'll be even better. And then you really had to think about it.
Ruining it.
Nice moment. Beautiful moment.
Yeah, well.
Now, I'll never forget, on their 70th wedding anniversary, I called my grandfather, and I said, Pop-Up, hey, congratulations, 70 years, that's incredible. And I said, how do you feel? And he goes, we're still on our honeymoon. And I'm like, you smooth talker, you.
Yeah.
How about that? That you think about the most iconic photos, that's the first one that jumps to mind for me.
Yeah.
Like, and I've always loved that era, you know, the whole era, the 1945 and the war ends and all that stuff. VJ Day in Japan, and I always think of that photo. And apparently, the woman didn't even know it was happening until it was over. Yeah. Apparently, it was just a quick smooch, and then they moved on.
Yeah, like, that was it. Like, yeah, there's no long-term commitment there.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, no, like, you know the famous, is it Ali over Sonny Liston?
Yeah, standing there with his fist. Yeah.
And it looks like he's, like, taunting him.
Yeah.
It was just one quick moment. Like, if you watch the actual fight, at the end of the fight, Ali's hand just, like, rips through real quick. And he's just like, yeah, how you like that? And walks away. It's not like he's standing over him.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the photo, that freeze frame second of time, you know, split second of time, that's what it looks like. That kiss looks like it lasted for the entire, you know, drawing up the paperwork for Japan to surrender.
Yeah, yeah, after it was over, she was kind of wiping her mouth, like, you know, what just happened?
She's like, and you are.
Yeah.
It was a hit and run. That's where the phrase was invented. Hit and run.
Right, yeah. Times Square. I think it was Times Square for a different reason.
Yeah.
Let's get Zach in San Diego. Zach in San Diego, where that big statue is. Zach, have you ever seen the big statue of Kissing the War Goodbye?
Absolutely. I have seen the statue numerous times. It's over by the USS Midway, this big old aircraft carrier that converted into a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, man. That's all. I got to get back to San Diego to check that out, man. That place is pretty awesome.
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of Eagle fans out here, too. I'm not alone out here.
Oh, I know that. I know that. Where are you from, Zach?
I'm originally from Warminster, PA, up in Bucks County.
I went to Archbishop Wood High School. I know it well.
Oh, wow. Small world.
I know, right? What's on your mind today, bud?
My mind on today, sorry, it's about the AAF. I was just reading you guys' article about how they almost missed payroll during week two. And it's a little, it's a little alarming because I'm in the Navy. I'm a sailor. I was deployed for the entire Eagle season. So I missed football this year entirely. Well, I watched the Super Bowl, but I actually was more tuned into the Puppy Bowl that day. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I missed all of it. So to me, the AAF, and now that San Diego actually has a team, I think it's great that there's another football league out there for people to watch and players to get a second chance. And I was a little concerned that I'd like this league to stay around for a long time to see the NFL try to implement a developmental league or something and have year-round football. And so,
see, I I'm having Harper fatigue, Zach. I have NFL fatigue. Like, I have football fatigue. Like, I'm done with it. And I know in this business, you know, we all have commitments. Like, you know, Bobby got the pregame show and all that stuff that you do. It's a big commitment for everybody that's in the business. Very time consuming, and no one's complaining. I'm just saying that when it's over, I'm ready for it to be over.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I'll look at the AAF if I'm sitting home. A buddy of mine texted me about it over the weekend, and I was just like, seriously? I'm not trying to rag on it. I'm just saying I'm kind of done with football.
Would it be better if the AAF ran at the same time as the NFL, kind of like all the other minor leagues do? They kind of like relegate players up and down to the league that call somebody up or send somebody down for an assignment or something like that?
You know what? I will say this. Yes, if we didn't have Thursday, Monday, Sunday football. If Thursday night games were all AAF. Exactly. If Thursday night games were all, you know, the American Alliance of Football or whatever the proper title is, Alliance of American Football, if that was the case, if those were designated days just for the AAF, I'd be like, oh, cool, I'll check this out.
Mm.
But when football's over, man, I'm done. By the way, as recency news would have this, I guess, I don't know how to phrase this, but as fate would have it, do you know who bailed out the AAF for their payroll this week?
Wasn't it somebody from in the Carolina Hurricanes organization?
Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon actually went out there and made up the $250 million investment in the league. He stepped up for the league, made that. And how would you like it, Mr. Don Cherry himself, calling the Carolina Hurricanes a bunch of jerks? And here is their owner bailing out an entire league.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Zach, hey, man, you're in the Navy. I appreciate your service. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love listening to these guys.
You're the man. Thank I appreciate you, it, Zach. How about that?
That must be cool to just step in. Oh, 250 mil? Yeah. That's all you need?
I got you.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Now I own all of this.
Is that a wise investment, though?
What?
AAF?
You look nice. That's a nice thing to do. Like, yeah, what a fella. What a swell fella.
Because what they guaranteed everybody, what, 250,000 or something like that?
Dude, I don't know, bro. Trey, I don't know. I don't know what they guaranteed. I don't know what they offered. Did you watch any of it?
No. I've watched a couple highlights of it. I haven't sat down and watched it.
I saw one play, a backward overhead pass
that
by
was
the quarterback.
Yeah, I saw that last
like
night. We actually
3 yards.
We played played that on PST last night. That was pretty cool.
That's where I saw it.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was you?
That was probably Amy. No, you're on that show? Go figure.
I just thought you were in it like all my dreams. Every time I look, you're there. That didn't sound right.
And googly-moogly.
Oh, all right.
Suddenly my grandparents aren't that odd. Suddenly that's not that weird anymore. 610-632-0975 if you want to get into the final segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It could be happening right now, Trey. People could be really liking the AAF.
Yeah?
I guess watch the highlight. I mean, now it's bailed out by those jerks. Mm-hmm. The Carolina Hurricanes are actually celebrating wins, God forbid.
I know.
You mean they're having fun in sports?
They're having fun sports.
Here's what happens in hockey. If you show personality, that's the worst thing you could ever do. It's the worst thing you ever do in the show that you like to have fun.
I don't get Don Cherry's a cranky old man.
And if Don Cherry didn't dress himself like my great grandmother's sofa, I would be like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? Like, you're the guy. Like, I would like understand it coming from an older curmudgeon, but the fact that this guy goes out of his way to bring attention upon himself,
exactly.
Like, seriously, that's my beef. Like, the thing is, you listen to the audio of Don Cherry. Do we have the audio of Don Cherry ripping him?
No, let me see if I can dig it up.
But he's ripping the Carolina Hurricanes for celebrating wins. Carolina Hurricanes are putting themselves in a playoff position. I think they're 6 points up on the Flyers. If you look at it and what they do after a win, they're just having fun. They're doing these different celebrations. They did the limbo one night. I think they did duck, duck, goose another night.
Yeah, they did a baseball thing the other night where somebody hit a home run off. Like, and it's all good fun stuff. They wait for the other team to leave the ice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they do this little celebration thing.
Here is Don Cherry, a hockey expert on this.
This is the National Hockey League. Brendan Moore is a good coach. He play. These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing.
Can you finish a sentence?
They do this in the playoffs. What I don't understand is Brendan Moore is a street shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. They don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing. They do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you like
it. Seriously. This Don Cherry we're talking about, 85 years old, this guy. And he's bitching and moaning about some guy. First, I will say this. The one shocking thing. Well, it is shocking that it's Don Cherry, a guy who you think is a fun-loving type of guy.
Yeah, I thought he'd be like, that's cool.
But the other thing is that it is Rod Brindamore's team. Like, I don't remember him smiling ever with the Flyers.
No. Tough as nails.
I remember him sternly tucking in his shirt and lifting weights. Those are the only things I really remember from Rod Brindamore.
He was a cut dude.
Dude, he was. Yeah. They had that 90s night at the Flyers a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And I looked up and they had an old Flyers ad on the Jumbotron, the Fantavision. And it was like Rod Brindamore in jorts. And an oversized golf shirt. It was like, don't forget to buy Elio's pizza or whatever it was. I don't remember. And
I got an Elio's discussion last night.
I don't think he was in the Elio's ad.
Oh, I love Elio's.
But it's like, it's him, and like he's got like an axe in his hand or something. Like he's like chopping a tree. And I'm just like, that guy, why? No one would ever mess with him. He'll rip your face off.
Yeah.
Let's get Eddie in Chester. He's got something on the AAF. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, you're right about Brendan Moore never smiling. There's a lot of athletes like that that don't smile. Chase Utley was another one.
Yes, he was.
He didn't smile. They should have more fun.
But
I'm all for fun.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them guys are too uptight. The AAFL, I think you're in the minority as far as had enough football.
Yeah, AAF, yes.
Oh, it's the AAF. I thought it was the American Alliance Football League.
No, I did too, actually, but I corrected myself a couple days ago, but yeah.
Okay. First of all, I think you're in the minority with having enough football.
Yeah, I realize that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
the ratings were actually pretty good, from what I understand.
Yeah, I'm just learning about this and just hearing about it, and, I don't know much about it. I did hear something about Michael Vick is playing in the league.
One of the coaches.
Yeah.
He's one of the coaches. Okay. Yes. All right. I think betting has a lot to do with the popularity of this league, because you can still bet on it.
Hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That would have a lot to do with
it. I just don't know enough about the teams to even
wager about it. Yeah.
Right. But people still want to bet on football. You know, I bet on the NFL all during the season down in Delaware. And when it's over, I still want to wager. And now I got something to wager on.
All right. Well, we'll see what they we'll see what they end up doing. In terms of if they can stick around for a while.
Yeah. I just don't know anything about the teams. I mean, you know, I haven't been following it like that to say, all right, you know what, I'm going to put some money on these guys.
We had Mike Singletary on a couple of months ago, and he was going to be taking over one of the teams. I think it was actually the Atlanta Legends. And yeah, I think Mike Vick was going to be his offensive coordinator. And I think Vick's some type of advisor with the team, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, good for them. More people playing football. I'm pretty much done with football season when it's over. I have my fill, and here's what it might do. And I've always thought this. If this does show that there is an audience for football continuously, it just adds more fuel to the theory that the NFL will eventually go 18 games.
18 games?
Yeah. Oof. Which I know a lot of people shake their head at and dismiss. And I'm like, do you remember Roger Goodell wanting this, wanting the NFL's revenue to go up annually to, $27 billion or whatever it is? You're not going to do that with only 16 games.
Right. So are you going to cut out some of the preseason games?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you're going to cut out two and then just add...
Yeah. Or maybe the NFL buys the AAF and you don't even need a preseason. You can just have a minor league.
You got to have a preseason.
You
maybe, can't go straight from training camp to, you know...
But if I'm playing in this league and I already have my veterans, maybe two preseason games at most?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can give them two preseason games and kind of get it together. But you got to have some type of preseason.
All right, let's put a bow on it with our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam, how we round out?
Today we asked, what do you want most to happen? We had just under 3,300 votes today. Our options were Phillies to sign Bryce Harper, Eagles tagging Nick Foles, the Sixers winning the East, or the Flyers making the playoffs. And 51% said Phillies signing Bryce Harper.
There you go. And what was the Sixers?
Sixers was at 40%.
40%. Just, it was still pretty close for a guy that can help you for 10 years. Sam, let's go ahead and talk about our takeaways of the day. What do you have?
My takeaway of the day is that there is a Wawa etiquette, and if you don't know it, go read Jamie Kemsky's article.
There you go. Jamie, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is that Bob Cooney's a real creep because you had this nice... family memory of mom, and pop,
right.
Having an adorable kiss late in life.
Yes.
And Bob ruined it.
He did.
By talking about over the bra. Messed up, man.
You are a terrible person, Bob Cooney. But what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is that, Jamie, you're right. I'm a creep.
That's right. Concedes the point.
Yes.
Wow. I won?
Trey Thomas.
Man, I'm just looking at this AAF, man. Orlando put the smackdown on Atlanta 40-6.
And Trey is placing bets.
Yes,
yeah, we're going to figure this out.
My takeaway of the day, as we've been saying throughout the entire show, it's all about speculation right now. But know this, I'm going to promise Philadelphia that all this will be over within the next 10 days at most. Bryce Harper. Maybe even Mike Trout. We don't know. Yeah. Manny Machado.
Wait. What are you doing then if it doesn't?
What am I doing if it doesn't?
Yeah.
I'm going to paint you a picture. I'm going to paint you a picture, Trey, of the kissing the war goodbye. That's what I'm going to do. Maybe fridge rule that. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.